So at this time, I'll begin my presentation. I'm Don Johnson from the University of Arkansas, and I'll be talking about green June beetle mass trapping and efficacy studies. And my general outline, biology and sex determination, I'll kind of teach you about how we do that, how we differentiate between the sexes, identify some of the volatile organic compounds, and we're in the process of developing a caramone-based lure that we're using in mass trapping, and then as a to go along with that, we're also evaluating a number of insecticides and biopesticides for effectiveness against green June beetles. Many of you may have already listened to Dan Potter and Derek Hammonds yesterday talking about Japanese beetles and Japanese beetles facilitating green June beetles. So as Paul Harvey says, now here's the rest of the story. I'll start off with briefly the biology. And the larva is very unusual. It's kind of moving at night. It'll come up out of the soil, and it moves kind of on the surface, and it wiggles on its back. It pupates in the soil in a soil cell, typical, I think, like many scarabs. And then right around late June, early July, when a localized area gets a soil-drenching rainfall, the soil gets loose enough that they come out of the soil. So you can pretty well time their emergence by a good rainfall. Then they lay eggs, and then after that they'll come out, they get hungry, and they start searching for food sources, which are usually fermenting or damaged fruit. And later in the season you'll start seeing in decomposed compost or manure areas, you'll find feeding of the larvae. And it almost looks like little mouse droppings in the area. Sex identification is typically best done by just gently squeezing the abdominal opening so it opens, and you can see over here these coccytes in the female. These are all pictures of the female. It's just two vertical coccytes. It almost looks like two little teeth. And then over on the same area on the tibia, on the front tibia, they typically, when they first come out of the soil, first emerge, they have three spurs. But after a couple diggings into the soil to lay eggs, they lose that back spur, so they look like the male over here. So you can't use that to differentiate the sexes. And you go back in the literature and you hear about trap catches where it was all males, and they were using the secondary sex characteristic. Here you can see in the male this speculum gastrale, lateral lobe, and it's more of a horizontal object when you open up the abdomen. And this should be published fairly soon, this comparison. Host damage, the adults are attracted to caramones, as we've already heard yesterday, and they form feeding aggregations, and this can be very damaging in the fruit plantings, especially those that are ripening in July and early August. And there's a lot of different fruits that ripen during that time that if they're damaged, they will be attacked. And even ears of corn. This year, there was no, during the flight period, there weren't any grapes that were maturing at that time, but there was a whole field of corn that just ripened just at that time that totally lost the whole crop. The larvae work in the turf. This is from Flanders' fact sheet on green June beetles. High-risk area pastures are typically those areas that where you fertilize with manure or compost. And in lighter soils where the roots don't have a good stronghold. And it gets even worse if you have fruit nearby where the green June beetles can feed on the fruit, and that almost doubles their capacity for egg laying. The grubs will tunnel and feed in the organic matter, and their tunneling usually uproots the plants, and if you have livestock in there, it'll actually pull up the grass by the roots. And then you end up with a manure applied area. You can see in the foreground, you basically have lost the grass and it's been replaced by weeds. And in the background, this was a synthetic fertilizer applied area. So you can see it's pretty simple to manipulate the grubs anyway. Identification of green June beetle caramones. We found out real quick that After about a day or two of, about 2 days of feeding on fruit, you get fermentation going on. They literally will change the yeast complex that's going on in the, on that fruit, and you get a great deal of odor, fermentation odors. So we use SPEMI system to adsorb those odors and then use the gas chromatograph to identify some of these compounds. And this will just more or less slowly bring up some of the different compounds: ethanol, acetic acid, ethyl acetate, several butane compounds, alcohols and acetates, hexyl acetate, cyclohexane, carboxylic acid, and then an ester of acetic acid, farnesene, which is actually, this was in the apple skin, so that's an apple compound, and then hexadecane. And this one right here, cyclohexane carboxylic acid, if you go into the literature, you'll find that that is a precursor for some fungicides that yeasts use to manipulate other fungi and bacteria around it. And the story we've told in the past, Vizhniak and I, back in the early 90s, that as they feed, they literally get rid of a lot of these other fungi and bacteria, and it gets mostly Deboromyces yeast and a trichosporin yeast. So I think we think the cyclohexane, which is just, that's the only compound that was unique to green June beetle feeding that we didn't see, like in the nidodulids and other reported species. So we think that's how it manipulates its yeast complex. Development of a caramone-based lure. Back in, I think, Shaver et al. Has, they quantified the volatiles that are given off by the coir flower. And these compounds here are all present in that coir flower, and it attracts both Lepidopteran as well as scarabs. And this blend is called the scarab blend, according to Lopez et al. 2002. And these first two compounds are basically fermentation compounds, phenylacetaldehyde and phenethanol. And along with, I think, methyl salicylate, those three are fairly attractive to green June beetle, and the whole, all five of them are even more attractive. The last compound, back in 1990, Landolt mentioned that green June beetles were attracted to isopropanol. Then my co-author, Masig, tried it a couple years ago, and I was talking to him, and he said, why don't you try this? This thing is really attractive. So we added that to our lures. Expando Trap is the one we're using for green June beetle because it has a very wide throat in the funnel. It's about 3 centimeters. And then we were catching so many green June beetles in a week's time that we had to go to a much bigger capture box, about 10 liters or more. The two baits we were testing in our mass trapping system are isopropanol, and this system here where we have a vial with a wick, and it was releasing about 10 milliliters or 100 milliliters per week. And we found out that you could put that wicked vial either inside the trap or just hang it on the rebar that was holding the trap, and it worked equally. Or you got just as many inside the capture box. 8607 is a Tracy blend, that 5-component blend, and it works at a much lower rate. Emission rate, 3 milliliters per week, and it's, we use the Tracy floral cup. Mass trapping, this shows the mass trapping setup. We go set the traps in 12 traps in the perimeter, and they're in 6 blocks of each block with two traps or with two different lures. And we did this in 3 locations. There was actually 12 trap lines here on this vineyard, and then in Altus we had just 12 in that second vineyard. And these are the 2 lures. We charged them weekly, and this is just putting the isopropyl in the vial. And then we had to have two gallon baggies to empty them out. Sometimes it took 2 or 3 bags to empty those boxes. Here's some of our mass trapping results. The A, B, and C pertain to the north perimeter of Altus, south perimeter of Purdy, and the west perimeter at Purdy. And the blue is the Trace lure, and the red is the isopropanol. And these letters, I'll go to the first one. A and B, You can see that there's significant difference in the Altus area early in our trapping system, and that the Trace A lure was more attractive than the isopropanol. And the other thing you'll notice here is that this only goes from 0 to 500 beetles per trap, so that was a low beetle area. The other two sites had 0 to 6,000 beetles per trap. And you can see we got a topsy-turvier. We're getting a lot more with the isopropanol, the red, and slightly less with the Tracy for the last four trapping systems or trapping weeks. So in two or three of the sites, we had isopropanol was significantly more effective than the Trace A lure, but not all that much better. And in Purdy, we were catching in those 12 traps about 178,000 beetles, and the Trace A, 138,000. Then in the lesser population site, you could see the Trace A had 4,400 and the isopropanol 2,900. So this season in 36 traps, we basically caught 324,000 beetles. I don't know how many others were out there, but we caught a lot of them. To go along with this, we did an insecticide efficacy study because we're trying to develop probably an attract and kill type system eventually. 10 green June beetles and an apple slice in a cage, screen cage. We dipped those in different treatment solutions, 5 replicates, and then at 24, 48, and 72 hours, we looked at the number of dead, morbid, and live, and I'll just report on the 72 hours. And there's a lot of information in here. Basically, the synthetic compounds were doing very well. You can see the treatment formulation in the first column, active ingredient, second column, the rate, third column, and percentage dead at 72 hours in the fourth. And you can see these were all highly effective. And the 7 is the only compound that's registered against green June beetle. Many of these others are labeled for Japanese beetle, but not green June beetle. So you can see we're very restricted right now. Moderately effective, rosemary oil and peppermint oil, this Ecotrol worked fairly well, 71%. And then the last one, you see Azadirect, we had some effectiveness. And then from that point on, it kind of went downhill. I think from listening to another talk earlier this week that the Bavaria Bassiana, I probably needed to wait about at least 196 hours before actually testing it. I think it takes much longer for that to prove effective. This is just a summary of what I just said. And this used to be the old system that the growers used for mass trapping green June beetles, trying to keep them out of the vineyard or orchard. They just fermented fruit, sprinkled it with 7, and hoped for the best. And they put out several of these. So we're hoping to improve on that, at least make it more of a synthetic blend. We still have the green June beetle sex pheromone to identify. And this is something that we might be able to add to the attract and kill tactic. And have a dual lure system of sex pheromone and caramone. But right now, our caramone system seems to work the whole time period that we're seeing beetles out there. So they are attractive to that. And we could also have a feeding stimulant and an insecticide, and this is something that Lopez had mentioned in his patent in 2002 that might be a possibility. This is my funding sources, and I also wanted to thank the growers that allowed me to do this work, and then I'll try to address any questions. Thank you. Yes?
Are growers using the Trace A lure?
The question is, are growers using the Trace A lure? Right now, the lure is available from Great Lakes IPM as TRGJB, and it's the same as our Trace A 8607. I asked Bill Lindgren about that, and not yet. I think we've only been able to talk to the growers really this year about some of our results. This is our first demonstration of mass trapping, so that's the next point. They're real excited though, but it's a real messy task. Yes. The question is, how many do you have to kill to have an effect? Well, this year, unfortunately, in both sites, for some reason, there was a out of sync between our green June beetle emergence and our actual ripening of the fruit. So we didn't get a chance to look at damage, but that's our next task, is to relate mass trapping to damage reduction. We're hoping that that'll be the case. It doesn't work with Japanese beetles, but we're hoping it will with the green June beetle. Yes. I think we have time for one more question. Yes, you.
In your lab bioassays, were you dipping the insects or the fruit?
It was the whole thing. We were dipping the whole cage with beetle and fruit. Yeah, the question was, how were we dipping the bioassay cages?
Okay.